I'm with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist with StoneX. And Arlen, seeing some things here about Brazil tax changes that might just make U.S. soybeans more attractive in the marketplace. Give us a little bit of background here. What tax changes are we talking about that might just make that happen? Because we know that Brazil soybeans have been the preferred soybeans of choice, especially for those in China.
Well, that's still going to be the case on the export market. This tax law basically increases costs, increases the tax burden of all corporations doing business in Brazil. And it's just going to impact their domestic crush and processors in a way that may benefit demand for our soy oil and soy meal. So that's how it impacted our markets when it first became known. There's basically two different taxes in Brazil that corporations have to pay in this case that we're talking about. And the difference between them, if one is lower than the other, that difference can be refunded as cash or applied to their corporate tax, which is a third tax. And so this recently, Brazil's Congress passed a tax cut law that was going to reduce revenues for the current administration. Well, the administration did not like that, so it decided, well, we're going to close this, what they called a loophole. And so they closed this, and it comes to about an equal amount, roughly $5.6 billion worth of taxes that corporations have to pay rather than having refunded or applied to other taxes, increasing their tax burden by that amount. So if you're a soybean crusher, that means your expenses have gone up, therefore your crush margins have gone down, disincentivizing crushing soybeans at times when the crush margins are not wide enough to do so, therefore less soy meal and soy oil to export. So that shifts some of that product demand toward Argentina and toward the United States in theory. It's also going to decrease, and the same thing is true for biofuel producers down there as well. Now, that then reduces what they're buying and therefore weakens basis inside of Brazil because it's less demand for whole soybeans or for corn, weakening basis. That helps give the exporter an advantage to help offset their higher tax burden. And the cheaper currency there that they have gives them, and it still gives them an advantage on the export market. So while it increases the cost to exporters, it doesn't necessarily block them out from exporting, may actually help them because the basis would be dropped because domestic demand is not bidding up for those soybeans or for that corn. But overall, it does help us as far as for the biofuel standpoint and for the product of selling product.
What does this do for us here? And by the way, this is just a short-term thing, right? This isn't necessarily going to help us here over the course of like the next year. We're talking relatively short-term.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because this change was an executive order and it goes into effect immediately. But to become permanent, it needs to be ratified by Congress within 120 days. If it's not ratified by Congress during 120 days, then it is nullified once again. And it's just a four-month type of a tax. And so that'll be the key. Already, corporations are applying a lot of pressure on Congress to not ratify it. That's something we don't know whether they will or not at this point. So we don't know whether it'll be permanent or temporary. For now, it's temporary until or unless Congress ratifies it.
What could this do for our soybean market here in the U.S.? Are we talking about, you know, a big jump, something that could cause a sustaining rally, or just kind of ho-hum until we know a bit more about the permanent status of this?
It's probably a little bit more beneficial. It temporarily gave us a rally, and then the market kind of forgot about it until it sees if Congress ratifies it. Basically, what it means for us now is absorbing some of that soy oil that our renewable diesel plants were not utilizing that we thought that they would by this time as we've been expanding crush capacity. It absorbs some of the soy meal on the market. We've seen of late a stronger demand for soy meal, which has been helping that market and helping our domestic crush margins use up a little bit more of the soybeans that we have in this country. So it's a little bit incremental at this point until we know whether Brazil's Congress ratifies it.
I would assume that, you know, with this, it's still not, you know, a drop in the bucket from a market movement standpoint as, say, you know, the weather right now, whether it be here in the U.S. or whether that be in South America as we follow all of the weather patterns and planting here and planting there, harvest there, everything else.
I would say that the growing season weather is going to be the top market factor. Now, if we want to look at additional factors, there's been another change in Brazil that'll have a longer term impact. And that is that for major producing areas of Brazil, they could not plant their soybean crop until September 15th, especially areas of Mato Grosso and surrounding areas. They were not allowed to plant soybeans until September 15th. And then it came down to being able to get those soybeans harvested in time to plant the safrinha corn crop so it could reach pollination before the dry season started. That was always a tight window. They just made another law change that allows them another 1 to 2 weeks, depending on where they're at, earlier planting date for those soybeans in the fall, anywhere from September 1st to September 7th or 8th planting date now. And that if the rainy season has started, so they have moisture, they can plant earlier. That then allows them to harvest sooner, to start exporting the new crop to China sooner, taking away from our exports at that point, and allowing them to plant their safrinha corn crop sooner, increasing their yield potential and increasing the potential area they could plant. So that is a law change that will be advantageous to Brazil agriculture at our expense.
And again, last one here from me, Arlen. You mentioned right off the top, you know, Brazil has been the purchasing place of choice for China. This doesn't change that. China, you know, they dropped to third on U.S. list here of purchasing destination choice. I mean, they're just kind of sticking it to the U.S. farmer at this point, sticking it to the U.S. That's likely to remain the case at this point. Just kind of given the relations there at this point.
Well, certainly I've been someone who's been highlighting the tensions that are growing between the United States and China, and I don't see that easing anytime soon. And when China has said that they want to be the number one economy and the number one military in the world, they see those closely intertwined. That means that they have a disincentive to send us money to support us when they want to dethrone us from the top of the hill, so to speak. And so they have that incentive to diversify their markets away from the United States. We are doing the same against them as well with the business that we do. Having said that, they are very much value buyers. And so they do buy from us when our products are cheaper. The problem is with the dollar being so strong versus other competing currencies that our products are usually expensive enough that they buy what they need from us, no more, no less. And with Brazil's currency being very weak in particular and being our number one competitor of agricultural commodities going to China, that is going to continue to be the case as long as Brazil's currency is cheap. And so the market must be at move down to a level where it slows Brazilian farmers' ability to make money in order to slow the expansion of area producing corn and soybeans for the Chinese market.